Pastor, praise the Lord. That was a good song, wasn't it? To God be the glory. And that's the reason why we're here on this earth, to glorify God. Every Christian ought to have a desire to glorify God. And glorifying God is just that expressed image that is within us, and we manifest it to the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Jesus said in John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And so that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, he set out to glorify his heavenly Father and left us an example that we ought to follow in his steps. Amen. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, aren't you thankful for that? Amen. And sometimes we'll struggle, and we'll fall, trip up, and pull a muscle, something of that nature. But thank the Lord we have a heavenly Father, because of his love, his grace, his mercy, kindness. He's right there to lend a hand and to hold us up and to give us the strength that we need to continue on in this sin-soaked society that we live in today. You believe the Bible this morning, say amen. And I'm talking about the King James Bible, amen. And sometimes you got to be decisive and definite about certain things. But I'm glad that I've been a member of this church for many, many years now, still believes the old King James Bible. And thank God for our preacher. Our pastor still believes it and preaches it. And I'm thankful for that, when so many people today, preachers today, compromise. And, I'm into my 36th year of traveling around this country preaching revival. What about that? Say amen. Who would have ever thought, amen, that Daryl Murphy will one day be an evangelist? That's not odd, that's God. Amen. And I have a picture in my Bible of my two mentors, Brother Vineyard and Brother Johnson. And I'm in the middle. And Brother Johnson on one side, on my right side, Brother Vineyard on my left side. And those are my spiritual mentors that brought me up in the ministry. Amen. And showed me the way that I must go, and give me the skills and the tools, and give me the wisdom. And that God would instill in me, and to allow me to be the preacher that I am today, preaching the gospel. And now Brother Clear as my pastor, and he was here when I got right with the Lord. He's like my big brother in the Lord, amen. I may be older than him physically, but he's a lot more mature in the Lord than I am. And he's like my big brother. But my mentors, and I look at the picture, and a friend of mine said, boy, what a blessing it is to have those two men that influenced you. I said, yeah, one kicked me out of high school. The other one kicked me out of Bible college. Mentoring me in the ways of the ministry. But, God's using me. Praise the Lord. And you just be obedient. Trust the Lord. Continue on. And God, if God used me, God used anybody. Isn't that right? God used anybody. And who's willing and obedient. And who will repent and get right with God. And you'll be amazed at what the Lord would do with you. And how he can use you to impact, influence people that I'd never be able to influence. And a Brother Clear never be able to influence. But an Ola Maker would never be able to influence. Only you can do it. Only you can do it. And God wants to use you to do it. Amen. And to be that type of Christian. And to be in that place where God wants you to be. And all designed to glorify God. And to manifest that expressed image, the image of Christ. Amen. And that's the only way people are going to understand God, is through our testimony. And they'll be able to understand God, the way of God, the things of God, and through your testimony. And so revival is what we need today in our churches. Amen. We need revival. Revival is just a renewed enthusiasm and obedience. A renewed obedience to the call of God upon your life. You've not chosen me, I've chosen you. I've ordained you. Go and bring forth fruit. Your fruit shall remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. It's a renewed obedience. People need to obey God. People don't want to obey today. They don't want to obey. They don't want to obey the police. Who's with me? And that's society. And, you know, we need to be taught to obey. And we don't obey, mark it down, we'll go astray. Isn't that right? You don't obey, you'll go astray. And then you'll be left out there in the wilderness without any type of protection, provision. And because you decide to go your own way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Who's with me? Amen. You go your way, you die. That's right. And so listen, I was there. I was on that path. And God got a hold of my heart. Did it through different circumstances here and there. And, you know, that God used in my life and to bring me back. And I'm thankful that God gave me the wisdom and that allowed me to maybe one last time, to obey. And so I obeyed and walked the aisle and got my heart right with God, March the 14th, 1982. I remember it. Just like the day I got saved, January 11th, 1976. I remember the day I got right, the Holy Spirit of God come down upon me and anointed, appointed me for the ministry and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember it vividly. And so now I'm coming into my 40th year of that date, 40 years. Who's with me? Of that time when I got right. Now some of you were here that night when I come down the aisle and got on this old-fashioned altar and I got my heart right with God. Amen. And I know some people didn't think I meant business. And yes, it's been tough, but I meant business. Amen. I meant business. I said, I'm going to obey God from here on out. That was my motto. I'm just going to obey God. And obey God meant a lot of different things. Amen. That meant that you listen to the preacher and all those different things. And the instruction that you are given, whether it be in school, whether it be at work, wherever it is. And, you know, we used to have obey in our wedding vows, but people don't want them anymore because they don't think they're supposed to obey. We're supposed to obey our wives. Amen. Then a lot of times I don't, but hey, you know, I had to repent, but amen. But love, honor, and trust, obey. Amen. There it is. Used to be there. It was in our wedding vows. And but people today, they don't want to have it. They don't want to obey people. They don't want to obey the police. They don't want to obey the teacher. They don't want to obey. And people running rabid. And so we need revival. Who's with me? Amen. And we read about it. Acts chapter 8 is a wonderful passage of scripture about revival in a church that was there in Samaria that God used to have revival. And it's a picture. And what a church needs in order for it to survive, if we're going to survive and mark it down, you think it's bad now. Oh, if it continues to go down the road, we're going down there, but who knows what's going to happen. God tarries this coming. One day, your pastor and I, but Olamaker, we might be in jail. Who's with me? That's right. And don't sit there and not think that the devil has a plan. Just like we see here in this passage of scripture, revealed in the Holy Writ of God. In Acts chapter number 8, verse 1, and Saul consenting unto his death. And that word consenting means he stood there while Stephen was being stoned and they were throwing rocks at him and boulders and smashing his body, breaking his bones. And Apostle Paul, of course, then he was called Saul and a member of the Sanhedrin with an overwhelming fervent hatred for people that were following Christ the Lord, that had that testimony, that believed in Jesus. Or the Apostle Paul, of course, Saul at that time didn't like it. And it was consenting. That means literally, as Stephen was standing there suffering, broken arm, shoulder out of joint, part of his jaw smashed off, and his head, then a bleeding. And you know, Paul, he was consenting. I mean, he's standing there. He's clapping his hands. You got to be pretty low to stand there, clap your hands while someone's suffering. Who's with me? Amen. But we got people of God today. I mean, when we don't obey and follow God and do the will of God, and sometimes we might be guilty of consenting unto the death of a church. Amen. And there are people, because of their disobedience, their lack of activity, and sometimes I see it as, you know, you're consenting. You can't ride the middle of the road. You're on one side or the other. Amen. If you're not on the conforming side, the conforming, where God wants us to conform unto the image of Christ, you're on the consenting side. Amen. You're disobedient to your parents, disobedient to the things of, you're standing there, you're consenting unto the death of a marriage in a home. Who's with me? And so we need revival. So here he was, and they got this persecution going on. And notice the Bible says in verse 3, and as for Saul, he made havoc. And that's the time of the devil, and that's what the devil wants to do. He's causing havoc, and he wants to disrupt. Amen. That's what it means. Disrupt. And, you know, this thing, this COVID has been a great disruption in society today. It's a work of the devil. He wants to cause havoc. He wants to cause trouble. He's going to try to disrupt the home, disrupt the life, disrupt the church, and to devastate. And we see it happen today. How many businesses have been devastated by this COVID? How many lives? How many homes? There's churches today that have shut their doors never because of it. And it's havoc. And Satan is behind every bit of it, just like Saul. He was working for the devil, and he's causing trouble for the church. You don't want to be a troublemaker for the things of God, for the church, and the people of God. Who's with me? Say amen. That's right. Too many troublemakers. Don't be a troublemaker in the school. Don't be a troublemaker in the youth group. You may be one that's consenting unto its death. Amen. When you ride that type of the fence line and you set yourself on that type of road, and so all of these things constructing themselves into a person, perhaps a group of people that cause trouble and they make havoc and they want to disrupt it. They want to destroy it and devastate literally the work of God. Who's with me? We see it happening all the time. And it's happening in society. And it's going to continue to happen because people let it happen. Amen. People are letting it happen. As it happened, God's in control. We all know all that. But here's a church right in the middle of it. What did they do to combat the havoc, the devastation, the destruction, the disruption? Who's with me? Amen. And oh, listen, if you think it's going to stop, it's not going to stop. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Hey, I remember back in the early 80s when they chained the doors of a church down in Omaha, Nebraska. I was there on the Capitol steps protesting that devious act of the government there because of some things that had to do with the Christian school movement. When it was coming out, it was gaining steam, And people would take their kids out of school, put them in a Christian school, and the Christian school movement really started to explode back in that time. And of course, you know, Brother Johnson got involved in it. And then now our Christian school is a flagship Christian school of this state. Amen. And so, but the devil, he wants to destroy it. He wants to cause havoc. He wants to do all sorts of things to make trouble. And I've seen him trying to put the chains on the doors. And it's going to happen unless God's people determine in their heart, how do we combat it? How do we stand up against it? And we do it with revival. Amen. Revival. Revival's the only way. A revived church is the only hope. A revived church is the only thing that God's going to use to make a difference in society today, to make a difference in people's lives, and to give strength to our homes. And you see and recognize the importance of this church. And the church is only going to be as strong as its homes. Who's with me there? Well, we see what happened here as he caused havoc. How did he do it? Well, the Bible said he went into every house. He went into the house to do it. That's where the devil destroys the church. He destroys it in your home. He gets in your home. He gets in your home. And you invite him in. The Bible says don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. You know what that literally means? Don't give place to the devil. When you set a table for a family of four, you don't have a fifth placing there. And they say, well, who's that for? We're making a place for the devil. Who's with me? And so what's happening gets in our homes, and it weakens the family, and the family experiences a disruption and a devastation, and have been devastated by some things. And devastated perhaps by maybe a financial setback. Or perhaps maybe there was some kind of a health issue going on in that home. Devastated by it. Or perhaps a wayward child. Who's with me? It'll devastate it. A wayward child. Not making their heart right with God and not being obedient to the things of God will devastate a home. Amen. It'll cause a disruption between mom and dad. And you're causing havoc. And you're lining up with the devil's crowd when we allow ourselves to do that. But he went into the home. That's how it gets in the church. And we got to be strong in our homes. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the type of home you want to have. Amen. And my mom and dad got saved. Back in 1974, we started coming to church in 73. They got saved in 74. And then my mother never worked a job outside the home. But then, you know, my dad felt like we need to go to a Christian school. And so my mom had to go out and work. She didn't like it, but to help pay so that we could have that type of influence in our life, and a Christian influence. And the public school back then isn't as bad as the public school is now. At least the public school back then would work with the church. Amen. That's right. I know it firsthand. And I was going to the ninth grade over here, where they call it the middle school, and I got in trouble. They want to put me in detention. I said, well, I can't go to detention because I have confirmation classes. I didn't have no confirmation classes. But we went to the Lutheran church a couple times up the road there. My dad and mom didn't like it, but I remember them mentioned something about confirmation. I told the principal, I've got confirmation classes. Oh, well, then you go to those classes. You don't have to go to detention. I mean, they didn't mind working with the church. Who's with me? Of course, later on, you know, when I got in trouble again, my dad had to come to the school and talk to the principal. And I'm in there and say, you know, he's in a fight. So he's getting in fights all the time, fighting. I was in a fight every day. And we don't know. The principal said, I'm glad he's going to confirmation classes. And my dad said, what? He don't go to no confirmation classes. Busted. Who, neighbor? Of course, you know, I would have rather went to detention than what I had to go through with my papa, with my daddy, amen. You know, so put me in detention, please put me in detention. But today it's a lot worse. Amen. The devil's running the show in every area. The government, the school, and many of our churches. The devil's running the show. Causing havoc, problems, homes. We don't have no dads to be the spiritual leader. Where's the dads that'll be the spiritual leader? Grab the bull by the horns and say, thus saith the Lord, as for me and my house, we're going to serve Jesus. That's what we need. This is the revival that we need today. Oh, listen, what a tragedy. Well, he got into the homes. He caused a big disruption and a devastation and a destroyer. The devil, the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:8, he goeth about, walketh about, seeking whom and what? Devour. He wants to devour. So, what's the church need? Well, then Philip went down to Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. Now, we know there was a church in Samaria, John chapter 4. Who's with me? Amen. Jesus went to Samaria. Now, not a lot of people like to go to Samaria. Samaria was kind of that middle-of-the-road place, you know, and it was, the people there, the Jews didn't like them, Gentiles didn't like them. And a lot of different things going on. But Jesus went there. The disciples tried to stop him. But Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So he went in there. Of course, you read the woman that come there to the well. And the Lord was there and gave her living water. And she trusted Christ. And she went back into town and the men saw the difference. And they said, what's going on? Well, there's this man out by the well told me these things. And they went out and he preached. 2 days, amen. And people got saved, and they put a church right there in Samaria. And now, through the providential will of Almighty God, sends Philip the evangelist. And there is a ministry of the evangelist in the Bible. And God gave evangelists, pastors, teachers, perfected the saint, work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. There's a lot of pastors today that don't believe that the office of the evangelist exists anymore. I'm glad your pastor doesn't believe that. And a lot of other pastors don't believe it either. But there are men that do that. And I'm not going to get into why they believe it. And they try to spiritualize it. But, and so Philip went down and preached. And what happened? Oh, neighbor, they had revival. The Bible said they had revival. This is a revival God wants us to have at the First Baptist Church. Amen. You believe it, say amen. And some of you don't believe it because you didn't say amen. And so the Bible says, Philip went down to the city, preached unto them, and the people with one accord, that means they had unity, gave heed unto those people which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, come out of many that were possessed of them, many taken with palsies, and the lame were healed. Oh, neighbor, healed. If my people which are called by my name. Amen. And that's talking about the healing that God wants us. That's the fundamental verse. Shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven and I forgive their sin and what? Heal their land. Amen. Heal their land. No better way to start off the new year than give your heart to Jesus. Wholeheartedly. 100%, lock, stock, barrel, every avenue, every aspect, every area of your life sold out, surrendered to God, amen, and not being used as an instrument to cause havoc, trouble, disrupting things all the time. And so the church had revival. What were the elements that brought it? Well, number one, they had the preaching. Amen. Thank God for a church. First Baptist Church still believes in old-time preaching. Isn't that right? That's why it brings in these old-time evangelists. And they preach the gospel. And our brother Clear preaches the gospel. And they're preaching the word of God without fear, without favor. Stand up boldly, calling down the thunder of God and the leather long, hail, fire, brimstone preaching. And so that's become a lost art today. You don't hear a lot of that preaching anymore. The last revival I preached for Brother Johnson before he went to heaven. He resigned the church and then later on went to heaven. And then Brother Clear had me for revival. And then this time here, the first Sunday, and it's a blessing. And because it wants us something, the spirit of revival, amen. But Brother Johnson said, Murph, after I got done preaching, he said, you know, preachers don't preach like that anymore. That come from Brother Johnson. Preacher, don't preach like that anymore. Amen. Brother Borner, I used to preach with his daddy. And he liked the old time preaching. But a lot of preachers today don't like it. I mean, I had a preacher just recently tell me, he said, don't hit the pulpit so much. I said, what? Don't hit the pulpit. What are you talking about? 19 is the number. 19 pulpits in my 35-year ministry I've broken. Amen. I punched a hole in a pulpit one time. I went on the side, punched a hole right in it. Didn't I, Kyle? I mean, right there. He was there at the youth conference. Pow! Punch a hole. Oh, I felt bad about it because Brother Gomez was sitting over there. And I felt bad. I said, man, you got to put a piece of paper over it or something. Amen. And so one time I got mad at my wife in my trailer. I punched a hole in the trailer. And later on I come back that day, she had put a plaque over the hole that said, God bless our home. I gave that illustration. And that night when I come back to preach, they had a plaque hanging there. Amen? God bless Brother Murphy. And they don't want to hear it. But oh, back in the day, God used preaching. And a church needs to have preaching. And every single one of us need preaching. Pointed, practical, fervent, fiery preaching. Amen. And that'll help us. And that'll ward off some things. I mean, preaching wards some things off. For the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolish, but on us with our saved. It is the power of God who's with me. We need preaching. Thank God for preaching. Man of God, I stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord, as God told Ezekiel. He said, I've set you up, now stand on your feet and preach, thus saith the Lord. Whether they hear, whether they forbear, it doesn't matter. I want them to know that I have a prophet among them. Amen. That's what we need. I don't know how many churches I've been in, and the old people always come up to me. I used to hear that kind of preaching when I was young. And I haven't heard that preaching in years. I mean, their preacher's standing right next to me, you know. I feel like a Kentucky Fried idiot. I'm standing there and I'm running down that pastor. But that's the type of preaching that God used. Got people under conviction. And so they had the preaching, and then what happened? And they had the participation. The people, they participated. They got involved in it. They didn't hold back. They didn't sit there in their pews. When the invitation was given, they participated. And they would say amen. And they would come forward. And they get on the altar. And you read about it in the scriptures. And the Bible says there's a participation there with the people. God wants us to be a part of the work. And the Bible says, as they heard it, they gave heed to it. They gave heed to it. They responded in a positive way. And the Bible says, unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out. Now, we know Christian people can't be possessed. But the picture here is there's a lot of Christians with, you know, unclean spirits. They got a bad attitude. Who's with me? They got a bad attitude. That's an unclean spirit. Bad attitude about serving Jesus. Bad attitude about preaching. Bad attitude towards somebody in the church. Who's with me? Amen. Now, you know, if I'd have known these guys, you know, back when they were little, and I was in high school, if I'd have known these guys that are members of the church here today, Friedel, Dudak, if I'd have known that one day they'd have been deacons of this church, I would have probably treated them a little bit better. But, you know, things happen. You can't hold grudges. Amen. And you just got to make things right. And you can't have a bad attitude towards one another. And God's not going to honor that. They gave heed with one accord. They had unity, participation. Then they had purity. Who's with me? The church has to be pure. We can't let worldliness in the church. We can't let any worldly type of attitudes come in the church. This is God's church. This is the body of Christ. This is the bride. You want some bride walking up to the altar about to get married with an old dirty gown on? Torn here, dirty here. I'm in a mess. One day, the church will be brought to the groom, which is Jesus. Church is the bride. Bride needs to be pure. Didn't hear a whole lot of amens on that one. But that's right, it's Bible. And listen, God's going to use a church. A church is going to have some struggles. Yes, we're going to have some disruption, devastation. We're going to have some things happen. But mark it down. The church will carry on the work of God with the revived spirit. Amen. With the revived spirit. And not only did they have the preaching and the participation of purity, but they had praising. Who's with me? Amen. There has to be praising. You praise the Lord today. They ought to start out 2022 praising God. The psalmist said, I'll praise the Lord 7 times a day. You should practice that. Praise God 7 times a day. You should praise God 7 times a day for your church. 7 times a day for your pastor. 7 times a day for your wife. 7 times a day for your husband. 7 times a day for your mom and dad. 7 times a day. I guarantee it'll change your attitude. Amen. What does it say? Oh, listen, the Bible says there, and there was great joy in that city. God brought a great. Oh, the devil wants to take our joy away. He wants to steal it. He wants you to be miserable. But, you know, it's the revived Christian that has the joy of the Lord. Psalm 10:85, will it not revive us again that the people may rejoice in thee? Preaching, participation, purity, praising God. That's what I see in this church that had revival. That's what I see right there. You want to have revival, that's what we need. Amen. You want to see God do a work in your heart, your life? You need to have the preaching. You need to participate. You can't just sit there in a pew and just soak things up. You got to participate in the work. And a Christian pulling on the oars doesn't have time to rock the boat. And so you find a place of service and you start serving God, wherever it may be. My mom and dad served the Lord. And I followed their example and to serve the Lord. And so now it's a participation. And we used to pick up kids in cold weather like this. And to participate in the things of God. And that purity, they got rid of the unclean things. Get rid of the unclean things out of your life. Amen. Unclean. And then they were praising. Great joy. They were thanking God. You praise the Lord. I praise the Lord every day for this church. For you dear people that support me, pray for me, keep me on the road. I mean, they want to try to stop. They want to stop the evangelists from traveling. They want to make a law now to put a some type of indicator on your vehicle that if you go over a certain amount of miles, then you have to pay an additional tax. Did you read about that? I read about that. That's what they want to do. And, you know, now the last couple of years, I haven't traveled as extensively because of the things that are going on. Now my schedule this year looks a little bit better, but there's still a lot of gaps and different things, and a lot of churches now, they just stopped all the revivals. You know, they think it's going to make the church healthy. And what will make a church healthy is revival. But they believe the lie of the government, lie of God. And so, but it's all the work of Satan to try to disrupt this church. We can't let it happen. We can't let it happen. We can't let the devil have place in our homes, in our life. Teenagers, what are you doing? Messing around with the worldliness. You better get right. Amen. You better get right with the Lord. And I was there. I had to get right, and I did it. Now look what's happened to me. And the Lord used me for his glory. Now, you know, you gotta understand, sometimes you're here all the time, you're not thankful for a church like this. But this is an elite church. God has put his hand on this church. The devil would enjoy nothing more in 2022 to stomp it out. Are you with me? Now, how's he going to stomp it out? With weak, lethargic, selfish, shallow, lukewarm, anemic Christianity. We need revival. We need every Christian start out the new year with your families on his altar, praying for God to give you the strength for that purity, for that participation, for that praising, for that preaching. Lord, thank you for your love. I pray you take the message. Help us to recognize it tonight, this morning. And the one you laid on my heart, Lord, and easily to follow here in this passage about this church and how we see what happened when they heard the preaching and then they had the participation. They were in one accord and willing to do these things and take the steps. And they took the steps, Lord, and they got the wickedness out of the church and their homes. And now we see they're praising. Not just the church, but the Bible, Lord, you said in your word, a city. Would it be a blessing to see Rosemount rejoicing in the things of God? But, Lord, it starts right with us, individually, being right with you. Help us, 2022, to make a difference. We don't know what's going to happen. We had no idea, Lord, what was going to happen in 2020. When that pandemic hit, and in 2021, how people responded in such a way that wasn't advantageous to the ministry, your work, dear Lord. And then now 2022, what's going to happen? How are they going to try to devise some type of plot, Lord, the devil? Help us, dear God, to be ready. Help us to have a revival in our hearts to combat these things as they come down the pike. Be with our preacher, dear God. Give him the wisdom, the power of God to lead, guide, direct us in the way we need to go. Father, we just pray that you'll do a great work in our hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. How many of you say, God spoke to my heart? Lift your hand up. I needed that. All right, you may put your hands down. We give the altar call. You lifted your hand, come. Hey, the whole church should be on the altar praying 2020 for revival. The whole church. If the truth to be known, do we really want to see it? Then let's participate and show the devil we mean business. Show the Lord, show the pastor, show each other. Here's where we're standing. And God spoke to your heart. Maybe you're here, you're not even saved. You need to get saved. Maybe you're here, you're not even a member of the church. You should join the church. Maybe you're here, you've not even been baptized. You need to get baptized. And you need to just decide now, as the Lord gives us a fresh start, 2022 doesn't mean that all our problems and all our debt is gone. It'll follow us into 2022, but God gives us a renewed type of revived spirit to combat the doubt, the discouragement, the worry, the stress, the anxiety, the frustration. The revived spirit will do it, and you need to come, whatever the decision. Let's have everyone stand. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, you lifted your hand, come on the first note. They begin to play. Why don't you come now on this old-fashioned altar? Come, let's pray in 2022. Let the church be revived. Let each Christian come and say, yes, I want preaching. I want participation. I want purity. I want the praising in my life. Teenagers, get on this altar. Get together, pray one with another to strengthen your youth group, to strengthen each other, our homes. The devil's getting in too many homes. Why don't you come? Get on this altar this morning. And don't worry, you ought to be here. You ought to be here praying. I know some people can't come because of their physical things like that. But you can sit down in your pew and pray, whatever it is. And God spoke to your heart about it. We need a greater participation from this church in prayer, in the ministry, in the work, or else when the time comes and the havoc falls upon this place. And mark it down. I'm a pre-tribulationist. I believe we won't be taken out before the 7 years. But that doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. We're going to suffer some things. And unless we had the revived spirit, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. It's in the Bible. You need to come. Make that decision for Jesus.